You are listening to the Podcast of Ice and Fire, episode 182 for the week of August 23rd, 2015. Welcome back, everyone, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to George R. R. Martin's The Song of Ice and Fire series and occasionally HBO's Game of Thrones. As usual,
this is Ashley.
And this is Amin, and we're joined by several guests from the forums, Nadia and Michael.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Nadia.
Aren't you, like, the well-known mother of the forums or something like that?
Yeah, but I've kind of been gone for, I think, a whole year, so I'm just coming back, yeah. So I don't know if people, like, still remember me.
But you're often on VOK, I think.
Yeah, but I just haven't been even on VOK for a while now, so.
Oh, okay. All right, what about you, Michael?
Hey, I'm 23 years old. I live in Australia. I'm doing a PhD in molecular biology, and yeah, that's about all you need to know about me. I got into the series, I think, 3 years ago when season one of Game of Thrones first came out, and I was like, this is really good. I need to consume more of it. So I read the books and eventually just went looking for podcasts, and they all kind of sucked except for yours. I was looking for something that would compare it from the show to the books, and yeah, you guys did that pretty good. So I was like, I'm going to stick with you guys.
And what's your forum name?
Karl Wadegi. Means place of birds in Swahili.
So Michael actually helps a lot with the Supreme Court of Westeros. He's one of our clerks there.
Along with Amber.
So they help a lot with like scheduling stuff, with helping with editing, because we're going to be moving beyond the online thing. We're going to be moving to an ebook/book in the future. So
I was actually about to say, are you actually going to think of putting them all together? Because that'd be neat.
Yeah, I mean, we put a lot of work into it, and Michael and Amber have helped a lot, just helping, like, you know, organize stuff and get another pair of eyes to read over it and give suggestions and edit. So we are planning to do a formal ebook/book release in the future. So you can get the Supreme Court of Westeros on your bookshelves. I don't know. We want to get it out before the next book, because a lot of the stuff may be answered later, right? We want to get our predictions out now. So
yeah, that'd be pretty awkward.
Yeah. Well, we could be right and wrong in a lot of things. So, but thankfully, we'll have notice of the next book incoming. If it actually gets finished, we'll still have at least 4 to 6 months notice, right? Okay, Nadia, have you been on the podcast before or no?
I think I was in last year's Game of Thrones episode for like a few minutes.
But did we ever like ask you how you got into the series and that kind of thing? Okay, well, you have your opportunity now to tell us.
Okay, so HBO in Pakistan is not the way it works in America. It's like a normal cable channel. And sometime in November of 2011, they were running Game of Thrones, and I accidentally ran across it. And I saw an episode, and then I realized this was a book series that had been recommended to me several times by my cousins, and I'd never read it. But it looked interesting, so I started reading it. And once I did, I just went through them in a month, I think. Because I usually like to read books before I watch an adaptation. So I just fell in love. And then soon after that, I was looking for some place to discuss the books, and I found your podcast, and haven't looked back since.
Cool. And favorite characters in the series?
There are a lot. Jaime and Sansa, probably, are like my favorites. And then, Yeah, that's why I love Ashley. I mean, she loves Sansa and Sandor, and she loves Harry Potter, and yeah.
I like this person.
What about you, Michael? Who are your favorite characters in the series?
It's hard. It does change quite a bit. At the moment, I'm pretty fond of Dany, which she doesn't get a lot of love, but yeah, I enjoy her character. Not really, I think she's right all the time, and she could be a bit of an entitled bitch, but you know, she's interesting.
By the way, have you gone to any of the meetups in Australia, or are you far away from those?
I am many, many kilometers away. They take place in Melbourne, which is like the southernmost part, and I'm like in the middle of Australia, not in the middle, like in the desert, but like, yeah, so I'm halfway, half of a country away from them.
What about you? I mean, I guess you, Nadia, there's nobody else in your area that reads the books, or is there people, are your friends recommended to you?
No. Yeah, there are a lot of people who read. Everyone watches Game of Thrones. Everyone, but not a lot of people have read the books. But there are. I've met people. I mean, people just come to me saying, "We don't understand why this show why this happened in the show, and please explain this to us. How did this happen in the books?" Yeah, I'm that person.
But is the show heavily edited in Pakistan?
No, it's not. It's not. No. Cable isn't edited. If they like. Start censoring according to, you know, their old standards, there would be nothing left.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Yeah.
I guess we can just jump into the chapters here. We are starting with Sansa 2, which I believe Michael has a chapter recap for us.
Yep. Let's see. Sansa is being fitted for a new gown on the orders of Queen Cersei. Margaery and her ladies begin to befriend Sansa, which in her words starts to make all the difference. Sansa fears for Margaery's safety once she's married to Joffrey, but Margaery reassures Sansa that she will have her brother Solorus beside her to protect her. Sansa is not convinced and wonders why Margaery does not see the same. When Sansa tells Ser Dontos of the Tyrell plot to have her married to Willis, Dontos warns her against it, saying that the Tyrells are only Lannisters with flowers, and that they are only after her claim. But Sansa insists and stops visiting the Godswood.
Good stuff. Question right off the bat. Did Cersei order that gown, and if so, why is she doing that?
I think Cersei's ordering it.
Isn't it the wedding gown?
Well, that's what I was thinking, like, because it would be... I mean, it's ironic, but did they even know about that yet?
Sansa recalls telling Ser Dontos about this, like it's not a chronological chapter, and that's sort of what leads to Cersei being made aware of it, because, well, how's it go? Ser Dontos tells Littlefinger tells Tywin, and then Tywin and co. discuss it.
That's what I thought. I mean, if it was a memory of her telling Dontos, then there's enough time for Cersei to be making that gown.
Yeah.
But if it was actually happening right now, then that doesn't make sense.
But it's not clear, is it?
I think it is. I think we've read it so many times we've forgotten how it turns out. But yeah, I've always clearly understood that that's the way it happened.
Where the dress lady is like, oh, and you'll look so beautiful, just like a lady who looks very pretty will look. And she was going to say bride, but she doesn't. Because Sansa's like the one person in Red Keep that doesn't know about this wedding.
I think it's right in the beginning, in the first page.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so it makes sense. So conclusive then. Supreme Court of Westeros ruling on it right there.
Hammer, gavel goes down.
Good. Yeah, that makes sense because Cersei wouldn't do that. I was thinking Cersei wouldn't do that anyways. So basically, like if Sansa had said nothing, then she would have been smuggled out and she would have married Willis then.
Yeah,
poor Sansa.
Totally sense is bad.
Yeah. So do you think that would have worked out better for her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Given what we know of Willis's character, who seems to be a decent guy, then and she even seems to be like working herself up to that. Like she knows he's not going to be like handsome or whatever, but she can use him and turn him against the Lannisters. Potentially, he probably doesn't need a lot of encouragement to do that.
Yeah, anything you know will be better than Joffrey and / Littlefinger.
In the very long run, well, we don't know what happens to Sansa in the very long run. That might work out better. The route that you take.
She'll be wiser for going with Littlefinger and learning how to play the game, but I don't know if that'll mean she'll be happier in the end.
Although and that's the thing I noticed in this particular chapter, she's actually quite wise already when she starts seeing like this whole like situation that might create a second Kingslayer. Like she already sees like, oh, Loras is going to become a Kingslayer in this situation. I was like, oh, that's pretty adept
pretty
of her
shrewd.
To figure that out. Yeah, shrewd.
Yeah, the thing is like. If Sansa figured that out, surely someone else has figured that out.
Yeah.
Well, the Queen of Thorns has figured that out.
Yeah. But Margaery...
Yeah, I think that's the point of having Loras in the Kingsguard.
Well, it's an easy way to deal with a third son and doubly difficult third son, like Loras, right? That's what Littlefinger said.
Yeah.
I used to interpret the line, Sansa was surprised Margaery didn't see it as well, to sort of be evidence that Margaery knew about the Purple Wedding. But now I'm not so sure. I kind of think that Margaery is just a little innocent in that she hasn't had Sansa's traumatic King's Landing upbringing, you know, seeing your father getting his head chopped off and it's one thing to be told that Joffrey's a monster and another to experience it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and Loras is a pretty good protector, so like, if you want somebody protecting you, he'll do the job. But yeah, the Queen of Thorns knows that as well, and that's why she's going to nip it in the bud.
Yeah, I feel like Marjorie must know about the Purple Wedding. I mean, she was
It's
there
dangerous if she doesn't know about it.
Yeah,
that's
she
the
was
problem.
There with the questioning of Sansa about Joffrey and his character.
I feel like she knew the Queen of Thorns told her, like, at some point of the wedding, stop drinking from the wine cup.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I like the idea that only Littlefinger and Elena, they were like the two people in Westeros that knew this was going to happen. But yeah, it could go either way.
I feel like she wouldn't have planned
it. Yeah, and I don't think we'd ever find out. I don't think we'd ever find out for real if she was actually told or not. Because it's never been conclusively proven.
In the show, it's made apparent that Marjorie was not aware, but of course you should never mix show and book canon.
Well, in the show, yeah.
I have issues with that.
Because in the book, I think her reaction was she was screaming her head off. That might be acting, but you know, you never know.
The problem also, like, even if you really do respect show canon, the problem is you never know when a particular moment is told to them by George rather than them making it up. There's no way to know that, so it's very difficult to go like, oh, on the show, this obviously they know because George told them. Well, he's not going to tell them every single detail like this, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. In the books, she is crying into the chest of Olenna, and like, either she's really good at getting those tears going, like the Carthena, or she's probably just genuinely shocked and like, oh shit, what's going on? And Olenna is saying, be brave, child, which I like to interpret as being like, just play along with it, girl, be cool.
Interesting.
Well, she's still young, so I'm thinking, you know, she might have known, but she might not have known how horrible it would be to witness.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's what, 15, 16?
I think she might be 16 at that
time. Yeah, maybe.
I think she was 15 at the beginning.
Okay, well, so, but Sansa does need some new clothing, apparently, because she's filling out, regardless. The stable boys are gaping at her, and men are staring at her.
Yeah. Not just stable boys, yeah.
Well, the little, like, the smaller Tyrell, the lower Tyrell family, Eleanor, Alla, Mega, weren't they arrested eventually?
Yes, their cousins were accused.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
Are they still under arrest, or did they get out on bail?
They've been released with Marjorie.
I think, yeah.
Like, they have to come back for the trial. But
they're
like,
still
they're
under trial.
Yeah.
House arrest.
Roses from lower on the bush, said Eleanor. But then Sansa herself is noticing she's experienced a lot more than they have, and they're still children to her.
Yeah, and Sansa has that line, she pitied them, she envied them. I thought, oh, poor Sansa.
Mm. And then the girls have a kissing game, apparently. They confess to having a kissing game. Sansa's like, hey, I've kissed the hound. Drop the mic. Although this is like a false memory thing, right?
Yep.
Because she didn't actually kiss the hound.
Oh, okay. That's interesting that false memory has formed so soon. I thought it was only when she was up in the Vale and she was trying to console herself.
Yeah. Because later on it makes sense if you're being like slobbered over by like this stupid little boy to be like, hey, at least like the hound with first kiss compared to that little stupid boy. But here, like, I guess Dantos is trying to like plant kisses on her all the time.
Yeah, he's crazy.
All the time. It's really, yeah, it's not appropriate.
Really gross.
Oh, does Dantos ever be inappropriate?
I don't know. No.
Yeah. His slobbery kiss is always like described like he's just trying to put a slobbery kiss on her. She's like dodging his kisses. Yeah.
I'm interested how Littlefinger was able to convince Tywin that this plot was taking place, because you would need to bring evidence that this is going on, but he can't reveal Dontus, otherwise he sort of screws himself over. But yeah, Littlefinger must have talked in some very persuasive way to convince him that this was a serious threat and not just gossip.
I think Littlefinger is known for having his fingers in a lot of places, and So I think they trust him when he brings information. He must have a track record of bringing reliable information.
Yeah. And he did bring the Tyrells there in the first place. He's helped a lot already with all of this. So, that one, he's helped them a lot. Two, he would know about the Tyrells. And three, the plan makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Like, I mean, Tywin must have been like, oh, yeah. I was already thinking about that myself. Because it makes a lot of sense. Like, obviously, she's a good person to marry. And it totally makes sense that they would take her there for that claim.
Yeah, she's hot on the market after her
brother's
rejection from Joffrey.
Yeah. I mean, and even if, like, Rob is not killed off, like, she's still valuable regardless. Like, she's still a good match, so... Okay, and then it also describes how they went hawking, which is interesting.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of hawking.
I don't know, people usually assume that Sansa doesn't know how to ride or whatever, but she's apparently really good. I mean, she's good at hawking, she's good at riding.
She can also sing and play the high harp, which is a detail I missed in my third reread.
Very well trained ladies.
Well, she's been taught to play the high harp.
I think it's always
like
the
she could do it.
It's always the contrast since between. Sorry, you go ahead.
You go. You take precedence, Ashley.
I was saying it's like the contrast between Arya and her. Everyone, you know, focuses on Arya. They forget that Sansa's also got these talents too. She just might not excel the same way Arya does.
Hmm. And I actually like that the two chapters are kind of paired here as well. The two sisters, like the same thing earlier with Jon and Rob. Like, there's a lot of symmetry in Storm of Swords that you don't notice till later.
Yeah.
And they're both captives.
And she's Sansa thinks of Arya a few times in this chapter.
Yep. There's a girl here who reminds her of
Arya.
She
thinks of having a daughter who looks... Yeah, and she thinks of having a daughter who looks like Arya.
Yeah. I'm going to restart the call, by the way. I think there's a lot of lag. Okay, so we're back. Here's the artwork, by the way. Let me send you the artwork for this chapter. It's by King Beyond the Wall. Just showing the dress preparations with Mirish silk, I think, or lace.
Mirish lace, yeah. Whenever George wants you to know that it's expensive, it's Mirish.
Yeah. So yeah, and basically she's thinking about marrying Willis and what Margaery has told him about him and stuff and kind of working herself up to that. And I think a lot of people, like when they first read the book, really thought that was going to happen. Like it was really angling to that way until the reveal later.
I was really hoping for it. I just felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see Highgarden.
Yeah, Highgarden sounds
amazing. I still want to see Highgarden.
Yeah. Sounds so nice.
My first reread, I missed that small council, the end part of it, where Tyrion is told that he has to marry Sansa. So
that must have been a shock.
Yeah, so I found out when in the next Sansa chapter, when she's being, she has the maiden's cloak draped on her, I'm like, what? It was very shocking, very disorientating.
You were right in Sansa's mindset then.
Yeah.
I'd wonder if maybe that would be a better way to read it. Maybe find out the Tyrion's chapter after the fact. The full shock value.
Yeah.
It was quite a shock.
I remember. I was shocked, but I was also really excited too. Because it's like, oh, this is going to set up so many great scenarios. And then nothing really happened. They just ate dinner together.
Exactly.
And talked about peace.
Podrick in the corner. But hey, they're still married, technically. So that has something. Yep. That means something.
Yeah. There's also some of the aftermath of Battle of the Blackwater. I mean, when they go hawking, they see the burned ships and everything.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
That there's still that.
It takes so much time.
Yeah. Now, in terms of like. Ash, you know, Sansa and Tyrion, like, Sansa sometimes gets flack for not accepting Tyrion or whatever, but do you think she would have been okay with Willis overall, or?
Yeah, well, the thing is with Tyrion, he's a Lannister.
Ashley, keep going.
Oh. He's a Lannister, so his family's killed her entire family, and she's basically trusting Cersei was her first mistake and just learned from it. I mean, she would be absolutely stupid to trust a Lannister like that again, so I hold no fault against her whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the one thing that she does...
I agree, and also that she had...
Nadia, you're so pushy today. It's a lag.
I think there's lag.
First and only time on the podcast.
Yeah, I think
Don't say that. Oh, we're... I'm just joking with you. Don't worry.
No, we'll have you back. We'll have you back.
No, no. I think. Thank you.
She likes Sansa. We'll have her back.
It's okay. Yeah, I was just saying that I think Sansa had time to accept Willis. I mean, she's been building up to that for a while now, and suddenly she gets thrown into the Septuagint. It's not going to end well.
It's not really a very heavy chapter. Just talk about making a dress and Marjorie's cousins being old girly.
Playing their kissing game.
Because that's what's important.
To them. They're dreaming of, giving knights their favor.
Yeah, and at the very end, she's thinking about that. She's like, oh yeah, Cersei doesn't want me to look shabby at the wedding. Yeah, but not that wedding. It's the other one. Okay. I think that's good for this chapter, then. Let's move on to, I think it's Arya 3.
Yes, yeah. Arya 3.
Wow, I thought we were farther along. Yeah.
We've got a ways to go, I think. But I think Nadia has a chapter recap for us.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Arya is now a captive of the Brotherhood Without Banners, and she thinks they're taking her to Riverrun. But then she sees the moss, which is very important in this chapter, and she realizes they're going the wrong way, but Gendry tells her to keep silent. And but eventually she realizes that they're going the wrong way, and she exclaims this, and they tell her she's being taken to Lord Beric, who will decide her fate. And then at night, we see the first instance of Beric dying. We hear about it for the first time, I think. Then the next day, when they're taking her to Beric, she decides to try and escape, which doesn't turn out too well, because Harwin writes it down.
Lots of stuff in this chapter. But, I mean, it's just, overall, it was interesting reading it right after Sansa, because both sisters are captives in a way. Well, they are. They're both captives right now.
And they're both basically being used for their, because they're highborn
claim.
Like, Arya not directly for getting that claim, but just, she's a highborn hostage, and so is Sansa.
We also get an explanation on the plan to Lunedd Stark out, and then he was going to be used as a hostage to trade for Tyrion, but Jaime just fucked all that up when he attacked him.
Yeah.
But that was his time in the initial
Ned
plan.
Ned might have lived.
Yeah.
Things might have worked out,
Yeah, if they had captured Ned alive, Tywin would have traded him. He wouldn't have killed him, so that was the plan. And, I mean, it gives Tywin a little bit more credit that he was actually doing something, he was actually planning to lure Ned out. He wasn't just raiding like crazy, it was part of a plan.
And that, Tyrion was, it was still an insult to take Tyrion, even though he doesn't like Tyrion.
But it seemed like he was really going all in, if Robert was still alive, this was it. Like, Robert was going to fight Tywin here.
I think Robert might have had to forgive him for the raiding just because he is his father-in-law, but you are right. This is pretty heinous crime to be attacking the king's standard and breaking the king's peace and just banking on he's my son-in-law, he won't do shit.
Robert likes to fight, too. This is an opportunity to finally take it to the Lannisters.
Yeah, but he's married to a Lannister and owes them a lot of money.
That is the thing. He owes the Lannisters a lot of money, but the best way to deal with that is to crush the Lannisters. Then you don't owe them any money anymore. That's the one way to get out of it.
Yeah, they've lent too much.
I don't think it would stand well with the rest of the great lords if his solution to dealing with debt is just to take them out.
That was bring Margaery and then have her replace Cersei and then have the Tyrells come in and be the funding and the source of troops. And I think that could have been an interesting route for taking on the Lannisters.
Yeah, poor Marjorie.
Because Renly was like, oh, does she look like Lyanna? I heard that she looks like Lyanna. Let's hope that... It doesn't matter. It looks like anything, Robert will still go for it, so...
She's 14, Robert's favorite age.
God. Creepy.
That was Robert, though, for you.
This also kind of goes to show what the Tyrells were willing to do, just trying to get in power. Well, but Robert doesn't exactly have the best reputation of being a husband either.
It's kind of like a Henry VIII type.
Maybe they were planning to kill him off too, and then marry her to Renly.
Yeah. I don't think Renly would be necessarily... I don't think Renly was that bad against Robert. I don't know. It's hard to say. Maybe they wouldn't tell him about it. They would just kill Robert off.
Well, actually, Joffrey's still in the picture, so, I mean, if Robert was killed off, it would still go to Joffrey, even if...
They get a new heir through Margaery.
then we'd have another...
Disinherit Joffrey and Marcella and Tommen.
That's what Princess and the Queen type situation, yeah, with the Tyrells and Lannisters.
And it went wonderfully. Nothing bad happened.
Yeah, the Lannisters, they'd be... Absolutely.
I think that would be a really interesting what if, like that whole like civil war, like between the Lannisters and the Tyrells. I think a lot of these situations, Lannisters get crushed. Like no matter, even though they have a decent army, like they have no allies. Everyone hates them.
Yeah, the Greyjoys would be like all too willing to jump on them. Robert was like, "Hey, could you just attack this guy that's right next to you? There's lots of gold there."
Yeah, they're not friendly with the
They've
North.
They've pissed off the Martells. Like everybody hates them. So in so many scenarios where it actually like drags on. They get crushed.
Who do they have allies at
their
all?
Their only allies have become the Tyrells. Like, if they don't make that Tyrell alliance,
they're just fucked up.
They have
that
a lot of money. They hire sell
That's
swords,
not
right?
enough, though, in the long run. Like, that's not gonna...
Only so far,
Well, but it's Tywin Lannister commanding. And on the other hand, we have Maester Tyrell.
We have Randall Tarly.
And, you know.
Mm.
Well,
if it's Randall Tarly against Tywin,
Mace
I'd go with
Randall
Tarly.
But Mace is stupid enough to counteract Randall Tarly's brilliance, right?
I've heard people point out Tywin as a military commander. He's actually not that good. He's only average. Like when you see the losses he takes to Robb, and he just basically falls into Robb's trap again. If it hadn't been for Edmure, but yeah, Tywin's—he's good for political stuff, but he's not that much of a military threat if you put him up against great like Randall.
Mm. I never really considered that.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Well, he has some good ideas, like the luring the net idea.
He relies more on tricks and stuff.
Like, luring the net idea was a good one. I mean, he put down rebellions in his area, but which, I mean, like, technically he had more men, but he was also, at that time, I guess, was about equal. He was very quick about it, but, like, he's not a great military leader compared to, I think Randall, I'd go with Randall over him.
Hmm. Also, Robert is pretty good at, like, military stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he's good at fighting.
He's good at rallying his men.
Didn't he win like five battles in a day? Or was it three?
Like he's not horrible either. Nobody is really horrible.
I think he's an inspiring leader.
Men would be tired by the third battle and he's like, come on, man, we gotta do this and
Yeah, he got Stannis to make the plans.
for the Greyjoy Rebellion getting crushed. That was big because Stannis has shown that he has ability on sea as well as land. He's always like, I want to see these what-ifs. I want to see Randall Tarly go against Tywin. I want to see that fight between the Tyrells and the Lannisters. I mean, that fight is coming, but the Lannisters are severely outgunned. Got nothing left now, so...
My favorite line of this chapter is when Harwin says right at the end, you ride like a Northman, milady. Your armor was the same, but my father was the master of the horse. Yeah, again, Arya's like Lyanna.
Yeah, that's really driven there in the whole... Being able to riding horses well, so then Lyanna could have done being at that tournament as the Mystery Knight.
Yeah,
that's hammered down in Dance Dragon.
I fully believe that was her, Lyanna.
Speaking of that whole like Lyanna thing, like somebody sent me a message on Twitter, and they're like, "Oh, what do you think of this theory where it's like Lyanna had twins?"
Oh yeah, that's been circulating recently.
Yes, it could have happened, like, but there's no real strong evidence for it.
Who's the other
Mira
twin?
Yeah, Mira.
Mira Reed.
That makes sense.
Just, I think this might be as Jon Snow and Mira Reed have very curly hair in the show.
That's actually cited as part of the
Maybe
theory.
Maybe that's why people think they're twins.
No, I mean, their ages are correct. Their ages actually are close enough to be right. And the other thing is, okay, maybe Howland Reed would have taken the daughter there, that they could split them up. But otherwise, there's no evidence, like, there's no evidence showing that that's the case. The fact that Halloween doesn't show up, that has nothing to do with the fact that he might have a twin there. Like, that doesn't relate to that.
Yeah, I think that's a little too Star Wars.
Or yeah, but that's the thing, though. Remember Alfie Allen said, like, the parents are like Star Wars. Oh, yeah, I don't think... There's not enough there right now. But if it came out that there were twins, you'd be like, okay, well, there's twins. It doesn't destroy anything. There's no build-up for it.
Like, okay, that's stupid.
There's not enough. We already have the three. We already have Tyrion, and we already have Dany, and we already have Jon. So we don't need, like, another...
We're five books in, and you're introducing this other factor that has not been foreshadowed at all.
Mm. I mean, even Mira Reed doesn't really look that way. I think Mira really looks...
I don't know why we always forget Shireen when we're counting Heads of the Dragon. Shireen is also part Targaryen.
Oh, that's right. But I think all think she's going to die.
She's not going to be a dragon, though. So she could be eaten by a dragon head. But
well, yeah, but Yeah, I'm just still around, you know? People have killed her off already.
That's why she's scared of dragons. She's scared of flight.
Well, technically, Stannis is also a Targaryen.
So. Technically, there's a lot of Targaryens out there. So. They're dragon seeds.
Yeah. Okay, and thanks to Robert, there's a lot. The seeds are running around a lot.
Just one final comment on the Lannisters versus the Tyrells. They did team up in the Princes and the Queen time. Like, they're really close to each other, so it makes sense they would either team up or fight. Economically, it makes sense they might team up. So, they do eventually do that.
They also teamed up against Targaryens.
Yeah, that's true. Initially. Now they are technically teamed up for now, but Cersei's been screwing over that idea. Okay, and then what else is there in this chapter? Let's see.
There's the first hint that Jaime has escaped.
Oh, Jaime's escape, yeah. Everyone's like, how did that happen? And then I just sent you the chapter art here for the goodbye to Hot Pie thing. Hot Pie's gone.
Yeah, smart move by Hot Pie.
Do we see or hear of him later on in the series?
Well, we haven't gone back to the Kneeling Man yet, so hopefully he's still alive. It's actually Hot Pie's at the Inn of the Kneeling Man, and Gendry's at the Inn of the Crossings. So they're just an inner way for it.
Yeah. He's being called boy now.
Is this the first time we hear that Beric has been brought back from the dead?
It's kind of ambiguous in this one. It looks like Beric is going to die.
Yeah, but the lance, a hole in his chest.
But there's no reason to really think that he's brought back from the dead at this point. We have no real evidence that, Thor is bringing people back from the dead. It always seemed like just rumors and stories till you actually see it.
But it's. I think it mentions that he's been killed by the mountain twice, and then once by Amory Lodge, and once by, I don't know who, but it's hinted a few times.
How many times does he die in total at the end? Is it like seven?
Yeah, I think it's the seventh time that he dies when he decides to give his life to Catelyn.
Big mistake.
Or whatever happened.
That was a big mistake.
Yes. The guy just wanted to die and be left in peace.
Hmm. Yeah, and they talk about if they find Jaime, they're going to give him a trial and then kill him. How they actually have Jaime. There's a lot of, Arya and Harwin kind of connection in this chapter. Initially, how she, gets along with him really well. Doesn't tell him what she's done, though, in terms of the killings that she's done. And then at the end, realizing that he's not her father's man anymore. He's not her brother's man.
I remember reading that, and my disappointment mirrored that of Arya's.
Yeah.
I was like, no, they're not going to Riverrun. Especially because you're so happy last chapter for Arya. You're like, finally, Arya, you get it.
She never gets there. I mean, probably ultimately it's for the best, I guess, right? If she'd made it there, she probably would have been captured at some point.
She would be dead.
Yeah, she'd be at the
Well, do you think they would have taken her to the actual wedding, or they would have left her at Riverrun?
Yeah, maybe
one or the other. If they're marching north, you have to bring her, but they don't necessarily have to still bring her there.
But I don't know if Arya would stay behind.
She might not still die there, though, but she'd be captured anyways.
I don't see Arya being taken alive when her grandmother are being killed.
I see Arya probably escaping again from River.
I think she would go all out.
She ends up running into a cellar or something, getting out there again. Yeah, but she's on a different path here because she's like, "Oh, I wish I have I had a good mean dog with me," and the hound, right?
Arya is right now in the same vicinity as Nymeria, right?
Yeah, actually, she's probably relatively close.
Exactly, but she hasn't. I think she hasn't developed her warging abilities yet.
She has a weird dream.
I think the first time she dreams about it. But the first time she actually dreams through Nymeria is when Catelyn dies, right?
Well, that's later anyways, that kind of stuff. But, she has a dream this time, but it's not a wolf dream, really. She sees Winterfell, and she sees wolves, though.
Yeah, that one was confusing. Is she in Summer's body? Bran is... Yeah, it's very confusing. They're crossing the Weirwoods or whatever. Weirnet.
Because she sees, she's outside of Winterfell, but it's kind of, burned and whatever, but, that's what it is right now. So.
Aren't we going to talk about the moss? It's so important in this chapter.
Oh, God,
every other sentence.
I was kind of just looking at the different the Brotherhood characters here.
I think...
Like, who they are. I mean, there's Greenbeard, who's from... he's a Tiroshi. I guess maybe a deserter. It says there's only Jack B. Lucky.
I hate Lem Lemonclaw.
Why? Even though he was Rhaegar's squire?
I just don't like the guy. Was he? Wait, why don't I know? Because
you haven't been reading the Supreme Court of Westeros.
Again, no evidence.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I just don't. He's the one who takes the Hound's helmet,
yeah,
right? After
traveling Hound's helmet.
After Rogen Biter. Yeah.
Brotherhood of the Hound's helmet.
Sweet helmet. Like, remember in the show in episode 1? I was like, damn. And like, I didn't really understand that back in medieval times you would decorate your helmets like that. And I was like, whoa, this is some crazy shit.
Yeah, it's
either... Or maybe it's just George.
Yeah, it is a cool helmet.
But it's very impractical, I have to say. Yeah. Especially the Targaryen helmets with wings. Hmm. those are dangerous. Somebody could get a sword stuck in there.
This song they sing about the Brotherhoods, the Brothers of the Kingswood, is that about the other band that existed before in the Kingswood?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah, this is, I think, the Kingswood Brotherhood, which is different. Kingswood is south of the Blackwater, right?
And it makes sense that they would have an existing song for it, but it is similar in the sense that Kingswood also did have, they had the people's support for a while until, like, the crown dealt with it and then they didn't have the support anymore. That's the same situation here. Like, if they want to win, they have to win the people back.
But yeah, it doesn't look like the Riverlands.
Did the Kingswood have people support? Wasn't it just like an outlaw?
They were,
band,
but they relatively—I mean, they relatively did because Jane mentioned that they weren't able to beat them until they won over enough of the people there, so they wouldn't have like hiding spots with them.
Oh, okay.
Arthur Dayne, yeah, he gives them like hunting rights and the ability to chop down trees and stuff that small folk care about.
We were saying something, Michael.
Oh, yeah. So, as you were saying, with this Brotherhood Without Banners, the Lannister, Lannisters, they need to know about the small folk, but they're not doing a very good job at the moment. Like, yeah.
Hmm. Well, they sent that Holy Hundred or whatever to hold Harrenhal. I actually think they might be able to do a decent job. As pointed out, they have no enemies there, really, and they're not going to be, like, ravaging the land.
Yeah, but it's Harrenhal.
Curse of Harrenhal.
Yeah, but who better than the Holy Hundred or Holy 87 or whatever to deal with it?
God, I hate that Baelor guy. No, he's not called Baelor. He's called Sir Bonifer Hastings. And he's just like, the Seven will protect us. Seven, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, God,
shut up. That guy, I think, I don't know if it's... Is that guy the leader of that group? Bonifer Hastings? I think he was actually a jouster in his youth or something. And he might have been in love with the queen or something. Like, there's so much depth in the story. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. The queen was in love with him, too.
It also makes you wonder about the intelligence of... Or maybe not the intelligence, but, like, if the queen was besotted with him...
But he wasn't super religious back then. He was like, I don't think he was the same guy back then.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. I don't think he's like a born-again guy. Born-again seven.
Wait, there's a thing going on with the
see here.
Queen?
Like, when he was a youth, he was a tourney knight, love of life, married someone else.
With...
Yeesh.
It's Rhaella Targaryen.
This was Aerys' wife. Yeah.
He once wore the princess's favor in a tourney. He defeated all the challengers to name Rhaella his queen of love and beauty. But he was too low birth to be considered a suitor for the princess.
Oh, this is before she was married.
When Rhaella married Aerys, the knight found solace in religion, finding only the maiden could replace Rhaella in his heart. then he was called Bonifer the Good, and now he's called Baelor Butthole. But I still think that he could do well in the Harrenhal. He could help the people there and welcome back.
I don't like religious thing. That's to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, but he's not a zealot, I think. I think he's still...
Well, he was... Weren't they, like, mean to the people there? Because...
Let's see.
Stuff?
That's what he wants to do there.
He didn't want the mountain men staying at Harrenhal, I remember.
Well, that part of it is fine. A bunch of assholes. He didn't want Pia to stay there, but...
Oh, okay.
Like, it wasn't like, we need to like, lock her up and like put her on a trial. No, at least he was just let her leave with Jaime. But... Oh, they were actually with... He joined Renly and then he switched to Stannis. He was there and he was taken prisoner there and then bent the knee. The Holy Hundred, let's see.
the holy guys were with the Red Men. Yeah.
And then with Stannis, even though he, the red lights. Wow. They were 86 after the battle, yeah.
Oh, yeah, now he's with Stannis, who's like a heretic as well.
Well, that's probably why, because he heard like the rumors that Stannis was burning the gods and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And he was like, well, Stannis is slightly better than the Lannisters.
Oh, I want to see more of the Holy Hunted. I want to see what happens to them. It'd be interesting.
How they die horribly in Harrenhal.
Yeah.
First, where Danny gets burned down again.
I really like, this is just an example of how, like, Jaime and Barristan say certain things, and you can put it all together to get this backstory. The books have so much depth to them.
Yeah, no, I'm itching to get back. My brother took my World of Ice and Fire book, and I just want to get it back. I need to reread it 20 times over. I've fallen in love with the Targaryen history.
Hmm.
I know, I love it too. It's especially Belor the Blessed. I mean, he's such a crazy guy.
Yeah.
How his brother carried him.
Oh, yeah, that whole story there. That's crazy. But that was a whole, like, dick move by the guys who had the Dragonite. Was it like, the Wiles or something? Or, like, was like, the crazy family down there? It's like, yeah, you can have him back, just you have to go through this pit.
Yes. Yeah, and he actually did. The peace process.
Yeah, I know, that could have ended right there if he died. Jeez. That whole trip is crazy, though, when he marches there on foot.
Has anyone come up with any theories about the Dornish letter? I mean, any interesting theories?
Oh, I mean, you
the one
have
that
one.
Aegon the Conqueror.
Yeah. I had two different ones. I think the key thing is when Aegon leaves, I think he goes back to Dragonstone, and then he looks for something that's not missing there, potentially, like maybe something that can control the dragons. And that's why he went to Dragonstone. Like, his sister has given information either willingly or not about that, potentially a horn or something else stolen. Something that can deal with dragons, and then he doesn't dare do that fight again. I think that's it's been a while since I thought about it, but I think that's the way I articulated it.
It's either a horn, or maybe he stole a dragon egg. But yeah, what it is, that's itching.
Then that would have consequences for Daenerys, right?
Well, if they still have it is the question. The other thing, like, do they...
I would think it would have come up by now if they did have that.
But there are no dragons. What's the point?
Yeah, maybe they just...
The thing is, if they still had it now, they probably would have given it to Quentin to take it. But, I mean, it might have been only known by a couple of people and they got lost or something happened between then and now. But I think that's where he went. He went to Dragonstone and he looked for something and it's gone. I'll put a link up to the post that I don't remember the full reasoning I had for it. But I think that was the key thing that I added is I think he went to Dragonstone and something's missing from Dragonstone. That's why he went there and came back and changed his mind.
Because I really want to know what was in the letter.
Yeah.
Well, what is pretty certain is that Rhaenys, she didn't die immediately. Yeah. Like, she was probably taken in and tortured for a while other horrible things that might have happened.
Yeah.
The thing is, if she was alive, I just feel like that would have been a perfect thing to exploit as a
bargaining chip.
You know.
As a bargaining chip?
Why wouldn't they say that they have her?
Yeah.
So I think, now this is just speculating, but I think they recovered her, but she was burned, probably didn't have, like, a lot of time. Yeah. So rather than use her as a hostage, they were just like, let's mine her for information.
Well, the other possibility that still links with something being missing from Dragonstone is actually she was won over to them. Like, maybe, like, that's the idea, that she was nursed back to health by somebody or something. She switched and then willingly given that information. Like, I mean, then the letter itself could still just be hard. She's like, oh my god, she's gone over. But why would he still leave? He still went to kind of check on something within close proximity. So I still think something was stolen.
And he comes back immediately after going to Dragonstone.
Unless he, like, went back to use, like, a candle there to, like, communicate. But again, they wouldn't have a candle in Dorne, really, I would think, right? So, I don't know. An obsidian candle.
I hope it's something we find out. Yeah. I got a feeling that's going to be one of those mysteries that he doesn't tell us and drive me nuts.
Hopefully we find out about it. I don't know how they would. I mean, like, if the thing was still around. But this is the thing. If Doran knew about it, do you think he would have given the horn to Quentin when he's heading over there? Unless he's, like, keeping it as, like, a backup plan or something. But,
There's two or three questions that are just
if it was
niggling
a horn,
at the back of your
mind. Also, I guess, maybe potentially, I guess, we dragon eggs and then they just died out. eventually they did.
That doesn't make sense, though. I mean, they wouldn't care that much if they had an egg.
In Dragonhorn, that would be in Dragonstone. That's something that only the Targaryens would know about.
Yeah, maybe that's the horn that Victarion has.
Somehow it ended up over there.
Somehow lost. Yeah.
Hmm. How do you guys feel like the Brotherhood's going to play out? Because they've kind of fallen into the background now with the whole religious zealots going on and everything. But
not so much in the Riverlands, like, really, though, you think? Or I guess there's some of them there, yeah. Hmm.
It's actually mentioned in the Riverlands that they're burning night fires now. Like, Thoros has impressed them all enough that the Riverlands is turning to the Red God, which is very interesting. So, it's like one line in the Peace of the Crows. But
well, if you can bring people back from the dead, that's pretty convincing. Yeah, well, I think they're going to be active at the Frey wedding that's coming up. Unfortunately, it might be that Lannister, Davin Lannister. Like, he seemed like a cool guy. Jamie's cousin is going to have to marry Frey. And
is anyone else hearing this thumping noise?
Yeah, thumping.
Rhythmic clapping, yeah. Nadia?
You're a podcast zealot. You're like, yes. Let's clap hands. Nadia, you still here?
Oh.
Nadia?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey. Nadia, stop thumping in the background. Oh. We're losing you.
Yeah. I think it's stopped now.
Yeah,
is she here,
Nadia,
though?
There?
Somebody, hello, can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, it's her. You're thumping. I don't know what it is, but...
it's very consistent.
Yeah, it's every couple of seconds, like, thump.
It's like a heartbeat going on.
Your phone's so close to your heart, it's like, thump.
It's like a dragon in the background.
Like the house of the undying.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Nadia. I think she's out. Out and down for the count, but is that all we have for the chapter? I think that is.
Yeah, that's about it.
Good. Well, thanks again for both of you joining us tonight.
Yes,
pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Apologies for the Skype issues. It happens sometimes. Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll wrap us up. Yep. And thanks everyone out there for listening. Check us out at the podcast, ViceandFire.com, and Twitter, and DeviantArt. And Facebook as well. And yeah, like, we are still working through Storm of Swords for the art book, which I believe a few of the hosts, including me, have some chapters to do. But we will do them eventually. The goal was to get them to George at Comic-Con. He didn't come this year, so we have another year off. We'll do that before then. And we'll have a Feast of Crows going with this whole art book stuff, so if you want to contribute to that, go on forums and check it out. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. I just wanted to make an announcement about Dragon Con.
Oh, good, yeah, let's get that in there. Are you on panels there, or are you just attending, or what?
I'm attending. So I will be there, but I do intend to go to some more of the Game of Thrones theme panels, like the fan panels this year, because I keep missing them. I know that Hodor is going to be there, and I think it's Maester Pycelle. I think it's the other actor I know that's going to be from the series. Again, I'm having issues trying to upload the schedule to find out for sure. But that's coming up next weekend, so if there are people there, definitely, you know, if you see me, say hi. I'm going to be around in cosplay, and there is definitely going to be Game of Thrones programming. Oh, I'll be at the Game of Thrones photo shoot. That is Saturday night at 6 p.m. No, 7.
I guess you'll probably be posting stuff on your Twitter as well during that time.
Yeah. Anyways, so there's a Facebook group for the costuming group, and it has all the information. Actually, I can just look that up right now to get you the exact time.
Are you going as press for this one, or just as a...
I did not. I chickened
out. You didn't apply for it?
I was going to, but I was just like, people talking.
Oh, I mean, if you get it, you don't really have to do that much more than you do anyways, right? Like, you would still...
Well, they have that the requirement. Like, they do look to make sure that you did proper coverage before they'll give you the press pass.
One
for
is
next
you just
year.
write it up on your the geekiary, which you can do. And two is we just chat about it on the next podcast, right? So you can think about it for the next year or other conventions.
Anyways, it's at the back of the Hilton where the big stairs are. If you're at Dragon Con, you know where that is. It's either 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. I think it's 6 o'clock. I wanted it later in the day because the costumes are quite heavy for a lot of us. And there is going to be like a proper photographer there, and it's going to be
big
huge.
Ice and Fire photo shoot.
Yes, the photo shoot for Ice and Fire has gotten like we're massive now. Like it's something else. Anyways,
cool. And then who else is going to be there? I guess Tara will be there, and
she's not doing the costumes,
but she'll
yet.
Be at DragonCon.
She'll be on. I think she's on panels.
The Game of Thrones one, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, and I guess I'll have some other friends as well. I think Aziz and Shire might be there. I think they live in that city, so I think they go there often. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll see them.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you see me and you recognize me, say hi. I'm a quiet person, but I still enjoy people.
Maybe they'll do that or post a forum topic if they want to. But
I meant this afterthought to actually be informative, but I just could not find this stuff.